Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today we got Joel Strozel and Tobias Forge as our guests here on Talking Metal. But before we speak with those guys, I want to just give everyone a big shout out who is supporting us on Patreon. Steven Saylor. Thank you, Steven. Steve Hoker. Mike Jones. Great hanging with you, Mike, at the Iron Maiden show. So much fun. Really, we really had a good time before the show, didn't we? Dan Gurwan. Patrick Schwartzman. Patrick, thank you for turning me on to Visigoth. I really enjoyed interviewing those guys in the last episode. Emma Clayton. Metal Dan. Jerry from Long Island. Jerry, as always, a great hang with you at the Maiden Show in Brooklyn, and thank you for all the gifts. I actually just filled my Iron Maiden Eddie ice cube maker up, so I'll take a picture of the ice cubes in a beer and send them to you at some point soon. All right. Michael Street, thank you. Brad Dahl, thank you. Brad, do I say your Dahl? Dahl? It's such a simple name, and I mess it up. I'm sorry, Brad. Joe, one name, Joe. He doesn't give his last name, which is cool. Joe, thank you for your support. Fred Rutz, Sam, Soupy, Drake, Matt Carroll, Jay Vaninsky, Jason Seth, Jean-Francois Blas, Ron Keel, James Bennett, Sean Morgan, Mr. David Gray, Kenny McCrimmon, and I know, Kenny, you have a request that you sent my way. I believe I'm going to get that on for you soon. Leo, that's Leo from Alaska, actually. Leo, I'll just call you Leo from Alaska because I don't want to butcher your last name. Richard Langridge, Miles Atwood, Anthony Mackey, Jonathan Turner, Jean Boivari, and Ralph Petrie. Thanks, guys. You guys rock, man. Thanks for keeping this show going. It's you guys who are making it happen. And other guys like Martin McCurry, who just sent in a PayPal donation. I appreciate that, Martin. I will get to your request soon, too. So here we go. Heavy Montreal coverage will be taking over the next few episodes of Talking Metal. And let's get things started with a little Ghost and a little Killswitch Engage on this episode. All right, here we go.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and anything else we feel like. We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. This is the Sean Baker Orchestra with Which Way to Radioland. We'll be right back.
This is Emily here. We are here at Heavy Montreal.
Unbelievable.
I'm having so much fun. I love this place.
We literally hit the ground running, running through the airport on the speed ramps.
Oh, yeah. Right. What do you guys call them?
Yeah, walking sidewalks.
Moving sidewalks.
Mark
was like, oh, I love these speed ramps.
Yeah. real quick, before we babble any longer, Tobias Forge is here on today's episode. From Ghost, the Cardinal himself. We also have Joel from Killswitch Engage on this podcast, both recorded here at the first day of Heavy Montreal. And wow, what a time, what a time. So we were at Iron Maiden last night in Brooklyn, slept in Brooklyn, got up at the crack of dawn, even before
the crack of dawn, because our neighbors
came in, was blasting music at 4 a.m. at the hotel we were staying at. And anyways, we're here on very little sleep and just having a blast. And the flight from New York was a quick 50-minute flight. And we had one of the performers from today's festival on the plane with us.
It was so wild, though, because I went through customs with him and I heard him say, I'm a musician. I'm playing at some festival. Like, it's called Heavy Montreal. Like, he didn't even know where he was or what festival he was playing at, but he goes through customs, nicest guy. And I think he acknowledged you on the plane and was like, nice. It was a small plane.
Yeah.
And I see him go to the luggage carousel, and he picks up cymbals and a drum chair.
Right. Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
Oh, so he's the drummer. But no, the drummer came up, and I think maybe picked him up or whatever. So we land at 11.
Yeah.
And then we finally get to the press tent, and I look at the big screen TV, and he's
on
stage.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the plane would have been late? Yeah.
Or if the cymbals would have been, I mean, and literally.
Living on the edge.
His set was insane.
I didn't see it because I was back here doing interviews.
It was one of those weird things where we couldn't even hear what was happening, but you could see the energy and you could see the audience. And I was like, I got to go out and watch this set. And they absolutely slaughtered it. I mean, they were so good. He's back here right now. Yeah. We got to see if maybe we can talk to him.
Yeah, he's right behind us.
He's like, remember us from the plane?
Yeah. What was the band called? Tell me the band's name.
Fever 333.
Fever 333. Cool. Cool. There's so many great bands in this moment. We'll be here. Slash, Evanescence. We're going to catch later today. I've never seen them live.
I've never seen Evanescence.
Looking forward to that.
Man, if she can sing live the way she sings on, I mean, because I love Amy's voice.
Yeah.
I think she's got a gorgeous voice.
Yeah, absolutely. And for 5 years, I'd say about 5 years, I've been desperately trying to get an interview with Ghost.
I know.
It finally happened today. A brief interview with Tobias Forge. Big thanks to him for joining me and for the people at Heavy Montreal for getting us here and hooking this interview up. This really is a big deal for me. I've been waiting a long time to speak with him, and it finally happened today. So without further ado, here's my interview recorded at Heavy Montreal with Tobias of Ghost, recorded on July 27th, 2019. Hey, it is Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and we are here backstage at Heavy Montreal with Tobias Forge of Ghost. Tobias, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. So is this just a one-off for you guys in North America? I know you've been out with Metallica in Europe. You're over here just for this one show?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
This is just because we have another real tour coming up.
Right.
And technically we are on tour with Metallica in Europe, so we just happened to be off at this little point in time, so we squeezed in a festival.
Cool. I believe this is my 10th time seeing you guys live today, and my 11th time will be when I take my nephew to your show in Trenton, New Jersey on October 25th this fall. Now, Trenton is not a major city. It's kind of a, I guess, secondary market stuck between New York City and Philly. Yeah. And it seems like you make a point to play secondary markets. Albany, we've seen you in. Toledo, Green Bay, West Valley City. You're going to places most bands don't go to. Is that important to you?
Oh, always been. Yeah. Always been. I mean, ever since I was, this was up until before I was touring. But from when I was a kid up until before I started touring, I have always been a fan of bands like Maiden.
Right.
And I always used to look at itineraries, like tour itineraries. And Live After Death, that tour itinerary inside the record, mm-hmm. was always like a blueprint for, like, this is where you tour.
Right.
And they played absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
So that has always been my goal, to, you know, do 100 shows in America. Always.
Right.
Because there are so many places to play. And I just love being in America and Canada, like in North America. I just love being here. And it's, for a rock band, it's such a comfortable and interesting way of touring here. And so it's, the more I've done it, the more I feel it was a right choice to continue sort of beating down
right.
that path.
Yeah.
And, once you've done your a few rounds, all of a sudden there is this opportunity where you can also play other places.
Right.
So for me, when I saw the itinerary for this tour that we're about to do this fall, I was just like, yes,
right.
This is a sign of making it.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Yeah. The Papa Emeritus character, you kept your true identity concealed for a number of years. And us fans were like, who is this guy? Who's the magic? Who's the person behind the character? And we couldn't figure it out. But eventually, it seemed like stuff started coming out about you, Tobias, being Papa. Was that disappointing to you that you were being revealed? Or was it a relief? How do you view that whole thing as you coming out as Tobias?
Slightly mixed emotions. Now, a few years later, I don't think about it as much.
Right.
But I definitely pondered the concept about how to eventually do how to orchestrate that for years before, because
right.
I knew it was always like, it was just a question of time.
Yeah.
So
you expected that it was going to happen.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course it was going to happen, because otherwise you can't have a goal for your aesthetic, operation to continue to grow if your intentions with it is to be less known. It's like it doesn't work like that.
Right.
That's defying physics.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work like that. So I knew that for every step that I was taking in order for the band to become bigger, I'm taking a potential step of ruining the anonymity.
Right.
But I also need to be clear at saying that the concept of anonymity as opposed to masked, that was something that I gave up very early.
Okay.
Because I always, and that's why I always said in interviews, there's a clear distinction about being anonymous and about being masked versus unmasked.
Right.
Interesting. Some people picked up on that and some people did not.
Right. Cool. One of the most interesting interviews that you did was with a guy I actually know, Dr. Mike Friedman, for Psychology Today.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really revealing interview. I learned a lot about you from that. And you said that Satanism is something you discovered through music.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious, have you studied like the books and written works of people like Anton LaVey and Aleister Crowley? How far have you taken Satanism?
Well, they're two different...
different beliefs.
Different beliefs
yeah.
are quite different from each other.
I've studied some, but I've not more than most of your sort of occult oriented rock musicians,
right.
I guess, because for me it's it's like it's a very well known fact that Necronomicon was written by Lovecraft, so it's like
right.
you have to take a lot of those writings with a pinch of salt.
Right.
It's interesting to read many of them, and it's interesting to be inspired by a lot of the wording, but a lot of it is like most religious. Those two were especially not Anthem was not religious, but
he was almost atheist,
whereas I think that Alistair had a lot more
magic
spiritual
yeah.
thinking, where I believe that LaVey was definitely a bit more pragmatic. He was practic, I have never really embraced neither of them as being like my
your thing,
my mentor in terms of thinking, more like more artistically and more culturally, I guess.
Right. Gotcha. Cool. Well, thank you for your time. We appreciate it, and have a great show at Heavy Montreal.
Well, thank you.
Ghost, go buy the full track on iTunes, stream it on Spotify. Hanging here with Emily Striegel and in the press tent right now where it's a little cooler. We were walking around.
It's almost 90 degrees and we're both
wearing
jeans.
Sweating my ass off. Yeah, literally.
We saw some guys wearing one of those Borat, I call them banana hammocks, with the things over their shoulders.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The G-string things.
Yeah, it's literally all they had. The only thing they were wearing, these two guys, the same outfit, just
it's
a little.
It's the Borat thing, but they were black. They were black.
A little thing and, over their wiener.
But then they were wearing their heavy metal vests with their patches, too.
Yeah,
so
that's
you
true.
See their little butts hanging, their hairy butts
ass,
hanging out.
Yeah. That's how they do it up here. I said in the States, those people would have been arrested.
Oh, they would have been gone.
Yeah, because everyone's so
there
uptight.
There are a lot of like scantily clad people, chicks, you know, maybe lifting their shirts.
Right.
Things that would not go over in the States.
Yeah.
Marijuana is legal here, too. I keep on smelling weed everywhere.
I'm not exactly sure. I thought there was a lot. Yeah, we'll have to look into that. I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, anyways, let's do this. One of my favorite songs from, like, I don't know when this came out, like 2007 or something, was My Curse by Killswitch Engage. I love this song. Going old school right now. Killswitch Engage, My Curse, followed by my interview with Joel from Killswitch Engage. it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and I am here in Montreal. Just got here, and I am sitting down for my first interview of the festival with Joel from Killswitch Engage. Joel, how are you?
I'm doing good, man.
Your new album is out in less than 2 weeks, Atonement, and we recently played the song I Am Broken Too. Great stuff. Love it.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hear the rest of the record. There's some interesting guests on the record. I wanted to start there. Let's talk about the most interesting to me is that Howard is rejoining you guys for a song. Can you talk a little bit about his involvement?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've always remained good friends with Howard over the years. And just in the past, I'd say 2 years maybe, him and Jesse have become really good friends.
So wow.
We were talking about maybe collaborating on something for a while.
Right.
And so as Jesse started putting down, you know, vocals, he had that song in mind for Howard. And
right.
It just kind of worked out.
That's cool that they have a relationship.
Yeah.
That they're friendly.
A lot of bands can say that. So
yeah.
Cool with four members, you know.
Not many. And Chuck Billy also involved on the record. What is he doing with you guys?
He sings in a song called The Crownless King. It's a really kind of a thrashy tune, so we were all, you know, listening, you know, trying to pick the track listing for the record.
Right.
And that one was kind of almost done. We're like, wow, this song's pretty cool, but it kind of reminds me of Testament. Maybe
right.
Chuck Billy will sing it.
Right.
We said it kind of jokingly, and our management got in touch with him, and he agreed to do it, and it was pretty awesome because we're all pretty big Testament fans.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Super awesome.
Cool. And, I mean, time goes by so fast. It's now been over 15 years since The End of Heartbreak was released. What are your strongest memories of making that record?
I enjoyed the way we wrote that record because we're not really able to do that so much anymore, living in different places, you know? So
right.
We all stood in a room and kind of hashed out the parts and
right.
jammed it out and spent a lot of time. And I feel like some of the newer stuff, you know, we have the songs recorded before we know how to play them as
right.
a band together.
Okay.
Just because of the nature of how we're forced to record these days.
And how does that work? Do you guys then, you assemble the songs, like passing files back and forth, and then at some point you obviously have to come together for some rehearsal.
Pretty much. Everybody tends to write riffs and parts and, you know, songs. And I think once we feel like we have enough material, then we all kind of, you know, fly together and start piecing stuff together and pick the ones we like and the ones we don't.
Right.
But it's funny. Sometimes we don't all play the song as a band until after it's recorded. It's kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. And, you know, that was 15 years ago. It's been 20 years ago since you started the band.
Yeah.
I mean, two decades. I mean, that's
crazy.
That's a big number.
It's gone by fast.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
And when you think back, like, how does that make you feel knowing that you've been doing this for 20
Other
years?
Other than old? Yeah. I mean, honestly, we just started this thing in 99. We were playing little VFW clubs and bars and things, and we never really thought it'd be anything other than like a weekend warrior kind of gig. And
right.
So the fact that we've been able to do it all these years and people still seem to care is pretty amazing. I think that's more than any of us expected.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Cool. The last time I was with you, we had dinner before your show at the Long Beach Arena in California. Do you remember what we ate?
The Long Beach Arena?
Yeah, 2007. We did an interview together.
Gotcha, okay.
And it was before that show. Do you remember what I was just...
I'm not sure if I even remember, man.
Yeah,
it's been so
we
long.
Had Mexican. We had Mexican. It was Adam, you, and Howard. And I remember out of the three, no offense to the other guys, but you were definitely the friendliest until we started talking about Striper, and then Howard got really
nice,
excited.
Man.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah. So cool. And when you're not making music, what keeps you busy?
Just hang out with my dogs at home.
Dogs? What kind of dogs you got?
I got two Boston Terriers.
Oh, nice.
So just like to see them and the wife when I get home. And
right.
Yeah, I like to bike. I like to drink beer.
Yeah.
You know, the usual stuff.
Well, I was playing in a band. We would occasionally come up to New England back in the 90s and do some gigs up there. We were kind of like a progressive, grungy thing. But we used to play a lot of shows with a band that seemed to have a massive following in New England. And I was wondering if you just remembered this band, Gargantuan Soul.
What are they called?
Gargantuan Soul.
Gargantuan Soul.
Do you remember those guys?
I remember
them. Yeah. Not... Where did you grow up? Were you?
I grew up like Western Mass, probably an hour and a half.
Okay, because they were more down in the Connecticut area.
Yeah, I definitely remember the name though for sure.
Right. Cool. And have you guys have done Heavy Montreal before? Or
we have.
Yeah.
I think this is with Killswitch at least our third time. I think.
Right. Cool. And what are some of your favorite things about Montreal and the festival up here?
I mean, this is an awesome city to begin with. I mean, it's just a cool place. But this festival's been great. Like the people, so many people show up to it, man. It's like some of the festivals in the States aren't as successful for whatever the reason. So this has always been really great. Good vibes. It's well put together. And I always have awesome catering here for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. My wife like and I say really, really the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. And do you feel the Canadian, specifically the Quebec crowd, is sometimes I feel like it's younger faces up here at the show. Do you feel that or not really?
Maybe sometimes. Yeah. It's, even just doing club shows in Montreal, like the crowds are always super energetic and you know, full of life. And it's cool, man. It's a fun place for us to play.
Right.
Cool. I think for anybody to play. So.
Cool. And last question. Can you just fill us in a little bit on your gear? We have a lot of guitar players who listen to the show.
Yeah, for sure. For my main guitar I've been playing lately, it's made by Caparison Guitars. It's called the Dellinger JSM, which is like a signature model kind of designed with those guys. Right. So it's kind of like a super strat.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty cool. Fishman Fluence pickups that we designed with those guys.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Live, we've been using Kempers.
Kempers. Okay. Yeah, so you go into the Kemper straight into the PA then?
Straight into the PA. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So we have a lot of our favorite amps from home profiled. You know, we're using the Laney Iommis for a while.
Nice.
We get some Framus amps that we really like, the KSR amps. So we have a bunch of those kind of profiled that we. I know it's cheating.
right. And well.
But, you know, at home, if we're recording and stuff like that, we always use the real amps. But, for live, it's such a Kemper, such a great tool. You know?
Yeah. Cool. And so like you said, the Laney Iommis. So there is there a preset then in the Kemper that is that, or do you kind of make that?
You set up your actual rig and you kind of, you know, mic it up with whatever you want. If you want to set up a loop with whatever preamps you want.
Okay, cool.
And it really sends these, you know, alien spacecraft landing noises through it and somehow clones it, which is pretty cool.
And in the recording of Atonement, are you using the Kemper in the studio or are you using actual amps in the studio?
We tracked with the Kempers just to keep things quiet because we did a lot of the guitars at Adam's house and my house.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure Andy Sneap reamped everything once we gave him the track. So I'm not even quite sure what he ended up using.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And Andy is the engineer on the
record?
Yeah,
mix engineer.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So he squeezed that in while doing Priest or...
What's up?
Between tours or something.
Yeah. I think those guys had to cancel a few dates.
Right.
So originally,
because they were supposed to go out with Ozzy. That's right.
Originally, he wasn't able to do it.
Yeah.
And then he was, which we're really glad. He did a great job with it.
Excellent.
So Andy's always somebody who we trust. And I think Adam was originally hoping to mix it, but he just had it in his hands for so long, it was driving him nuts. So.
Right.
Who else do we trust? Andy.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you, Joel. Have a great set tonight. We cannot wait to see it. You guys are always just fantastic live. Cannot wait to see you again.
I appreciate that, man.
Cool.
Thank you.
Bye. Some new Killswitch Engage here on Talking Metal. Big thanks to both those guys for joining us. And big thanks to you, Emily, for hanging with me here at Heavy Montreal.
Seriously.
As always, thanks to all the patrons of Patreon. We love you guys. And let's go watch Quiet Riot.
Can't wait.
Here we go.